I didn't. We're going to, as we start off and get ready for our message, we think about very often what we're really, really passionate about. Something that, you know, kind of, it can get you up and going in the morning. You know, something that, it doesn't matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what the season is, you're just really passionate about it. And it can be things as generic and kind of almost simple and just fun as a football team or a sports team. Or it could be something serious. Maybe one of you turned to the person next to you and said, my spouse, or you said, my kids, or you said, your career, and it's something really significant about that, that no matter what has come, no matter what trials or what situations have come up in the midst of your life, you've said, this is a passion, and this is not going to fade. It's going to be part of me. We've talked a lot about Jeremiah, and we're on this series in Jeremiah. We still have a couple of weeks to go, but I hope that already you've seen that Jeremiah is a passionate person. In fact, Jeremiah is one of the most passionate people in the Bible. I'm afraid, honestly, that us Christians have lost sort of the identity marker of passion, being passionate people, because Jeremiah was just a passionate guy about his life and about sort of his calling from God. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when that passion is challenged. What happens when Jeremiah, who was called as a boy, and at this point we're in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, so we're pretty far along in the journey, and Jeremiah has faced some tough times. Even Jeremiah, a prophet in the Bible, and this great guy who was called as a boy, faces a lot of struggles in life, and he comes to this point in his life where he just has to deal with it, and he has a really tough conversation with God about the passion of his life and what his life looks like and how his life has sort of been lived. He comes to this sort of crisis encounter and has a conversation with God. Now, I want to warn you, this is about two things. First of all, I'm going to get into it this morning because this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I know I shouldn't have favorite passages of the Bible, but I do. And this is one of my favorites. And it's one that I've gone to a lot in my life when I'm having a hard time. And I flip to Jeremiah chapter 20, which is where we'll be this morning, 7 through 13. And I go to that passage and I look it up and I read it, and it just gets me pumped, and it sometimes it makes me cry, and sometimes it makes me sort of just, you know, just it changes my whole mindset. But having said how much I love this passage, there are some people who believe this passage should not even be in the Bible, because some people say it's blasphemous. If you don't know what blasphemous means, some people say that it's disrespectful towards God. And that it's one of those passages that maybe shouldn't be preached too often or shouldn't be talked about too much because it's really disrespectful and it's really honest, because Jeremiah gets to a place in his life where things are not going very well. And he's really not doing too good, and he's suffering. Jeremiah is known by many theologians as the weeping prophet, because when Jeremiah suffers and when Jeremiah hurts, he doesn't have any problems with going to God and talking about it. Let me start off this morning by saying something really pastoral. If you're hurting or you're angry or you're confused or you have questions, God is big enough to handle that. If you think that you must always have a grin to talk to God, that's not the case. If you think that it's just too respectful for you to be honest with God about how brokenhearted you are and how frustrated you are and how aggravated you are and even how maybe you feel like God has let you down, it's biblical that you talk to God about that. Because God is a big God and He can handle it. And He wants you to be honest. And Jeremiah is a perfect example of that. And sometimes it can almost get blasphemous when the conversations get real with God. And I'm grinning because I've had those conversations and I didn't get struck by lightning. And I didn't, you know, get consumed by fire. No, and the ground didn't open up and swallow me. Because God loves. And God doesn't just love the smiley parts of us, but God loves when we're broken. So, this is one of my favorite passages, and it's one of those passages where Jeremiah just gets really honest with God. So, I want us to listen in on this. It gets real. Jeremiah is hurting, and this is what he says to God in the midst of some suffering and pain. Jeremiah chapter 20, once again, it's beginning in verse 7. We're going to go through verse 13. Oh Lord, you have enticed me. And I was enticed. And you have overpowered me, and you prevailed over me. I've become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. And if I say, I will not mention him anymore or speak any more in his name, then within me there's something like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it, and I can't. But I hear many whisperings. Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, they say, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution on them. Because to you I've committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, because he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask that we could be as honest with you about who we are as Jeremiah was. And we ask that we might find ourselves coming to the same conclusion as Jeremiah did, when living for you was costly. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we've talked in the last few weeks about the message of Jeremiah and where God has sent Jeremiah. We've heard that God has sent Jeremiah to the temple to talk to people as they're coming in to go to church. And we've heard about the fact that God sent Jeremiah to the palace to talk to the kings and the queens and the leaders about what they trust. And we've even seen Jeremiah at home in his village where he came from in Anathoth. And he was, for the first time, recognizing who God was. So we've talked a lot about Jeremiah and where he was in his message. But I really want today to talk about the person of Jeremiah. You see, when Jeremiah was called by God into ministry, when he was called by God to live for God, he was just a boy. He was just a boy, and we met that boy in Anathoth in a small town, a boy who thought probably that nobody noticed him, and then suddenly he's approached by God, and he goes, oh my goodness, the God who created all things, the God of all nations and empires and kings and queens and armies and generals and warriors, that God notices me. And God came to Jeremiah and he said, Jeremiah, it's not just that I notice you. I have made you. I made you with my hands. Before you were even born, I had the pages numbered how I wanted you to live your life, because I uniquely made you and called you to live for me. I uniquely made you and called you to live for a purpose. And listen, Jeremiah, I've made you for that way, and I know you think you have limitations, and I know you say that you can't do it, and I know you say you can't take responsibility, but Jeremiah, if you'll accept this call that I'm putting on your life, if you'll live for me, if you'll say yes to me noticing you and uniquely making you for a purpose, God says, Jeremiah, I'll deliver you from a meaningless life. And I'll deliver you so that whatever I call you to do in this life that you're living for me, you'll be able to do it. Jeremiah, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You're going to have to put on your armor, and you're going to have to stand tall, and you're going to have to trust me, because I'm going to send you through some difficult places. But Jeremiah, I've made you, and I've loved you, and I'll deliver you to a life that's extraordinary. And we watch this little boy hear this from God, and what else would you do? What else could you do when God speaks to you of that, other than to go, yeah, yeah, you know. And so God then, as a little boy, reaches his hand out and puts his words. See, God gives us all a specific calling, and God calls us all to live in a certain way and do certain things for God. For Jeremiah, it was preaching. It was speaking about God in public places, not in sanctuaries like this, where I know that probably none of y'all are going to come up and punch me in the face for speaking about God. But to public places where God didn't care about God. And so that was Jeremiah's unique calling. I don't know what yours is. It's something. But for Jeremiah, it was preaching. And God stretched out his hand and said, since you're going to be preaching my word, and he reached out and he put his words as if food in Jeremiah's mouth, and he ate it. And my mama always says, you are what you eat. And so Jeremiah literally becomes the person God has made him to be, and he begins to live for God. This young boy begins to live for God, and if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out that God says to Jeremiah, now listen, everybody has a unique calling, but Jeremiah, for you, you're never going to be able to get married. You're never going to be able to have kids. You're never going to be able to have that normal life that everybody else has because I have something special for you. And so we find that Jeremiah, he begins to preach God's word, and he begins to go into the temples and all these places, and he finds out that he's not going to have time. He's not going to be able to have a family. And so Jeremiah has to deal with this. He has to deal with this fact that he's not going to be able to have kids. And he's not going to be able to have a spouse. And he suffers with that. And he has to deal with that. And then Jeremiah begins to faithfully proclaim God's word. And he doesn't get married. And he pours himself into what he's been made for. And suddenly people begin to rise up against him because they don't like what Jeremiah has to say. You see, in this day and age, the Israelite people that Jeremiah is speaking to in the nation of Judah, they're surrounded by a great empire called the Babylonian Empire. And they need to be delivered from the Babylonian Empire. If they don't do something, then they're going to be conquered and their homes are going to be destroyed and they're going to be homeless and defeated. And so they trust in money and they try to buy off the Babylonian Empire with money. They trust in political alliances and they even go to a place that once they had been slaves in that place. And they went to the same people who had made them slaves and said, will you protect us? If you will, we'll worship your gods and we'll do what you want us to do and we'll be under your authority if only you'll just save us from this other enemy. Not only did they trust in political alliances and wealth, but they trusted in their own strength and they began to build their army and train their soldiers and their warriors. Even more than that, they trusted in certain political authorities and leaders and certain generals. More than that, to deliver them, they just trusted in other gods and they thought, listen, we're worshiping this one God, but you know, just in case he's not the most powerful God, we'll go out and we'll worship all these other gods too because maybe they'll deliver us from the empire of Babylon. And God sent Jeremiah and said, my message is really tough to hear, but it's very simple. The only power that can deliver your life from destruction is God. One Lord, one God. And he says, Jeremiah, I want you to tell my people if they don't stop giving themselves away to all this other garbage and start trusting me alone and start living for me the way you're living for me. Because Jeremiah, I want not just your words to be your ministry, but I want the way you live to be for me. Not just the words that you speak. And he said, when they look at you and see you, that you trust me and that you serve me alone and that you've given your life to me, I want you to say, if you don't live this way, you will be destroyed. People didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that their money was worthless to save them. They didn't want to hear that all of their political power was worthless to save them. They didn't want to hear that all their social maneuvering and fitting into certain classes and certain stereotypes was not powerful to save them. And they said to Jeremiah, we're not giving up our alliances and we're not giving up our money and we're not giving up our politics and we're not giving up our social status and we're not giving up our easy lives, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah then has to say to them, then you'll be destroyed. And so as Jeremiah grows up, he's a boy when he's called. And as he grows up in this ministry of telling people these things of God, his own townspeople say to him, Jeremiah, if you don't stop, we're going to kill you because you're bringing a bad name down on our village. And so Jeremiah, even as a young man, has to face the plotting of his own town to kill him as a boy. So he's grown up to adulthood with these people plotting to some way to murder him without anybody knowing how they did it because he's getting their village a bad reputation. On top of that, there were all these other prophets who went around all the time. We don't have any of these today. But there were these preachers that would go around and just tell people what they wanted to hear. And they created a little club and they said to Jeremiah, they said to everybody, that guy over there, he's just tooting his horn because he wants to get you all riled up mad. But we have the real truth and it's exactly what you want to hear. Get rich. Get rich and get famous and build a big army and make any political alliances you want. No matter what you do, you'll be saved. Doesn't matter what you do, live any way you want. People like to hear, we like to hear what's easiest to hear. And so people began to hear this and so they began to call Jeremiah, the only true prophet, a false follower of God. So Jeremiah's dealing with his own people that are trying to destroy him and kill him. He's dealing with the fact that he can't have a family and can't settle down. He's dealing with the fact that people are ruining his reputation and whispering behind his back and gossiping and slandering him. And then even as a young adult, God sends him into the temple and says, I want you to go to church and I want you to tell them that they need to serve me. I mean, this is a duh thing. You shouldn't suffer for going into church and telling people that they need to faithfully put their allegiance and their trust in the Lord, right? And yet Jeremiah goes into the temple, and this is in Jeremiah, if you go and read, this happens right before this conversation that we're looking at. Jeremiah goes into the temple and he says, listen, just saying, God is saying, and God told me to say this, it's not me, if you don't trust the Lord, you're going to be destroyed. And the chief priest walks up to Jeremiah and spits in his face and then slaps him across the face and then says to his board members over here, take this guy out and put him in stocks. You know what stocks are? Okay, put him in chains and let him spend the entire night in front of the church in chains for everybody to see. Because he came in here and spoke this garbage. And so can you imagine? We hear this passage. Jeremiah has lost his home. Everybody hates him. He's been slandered about. People are gossiping about him. They're ruining his reputation. If they can't kill him, they'll ruin his reputation. His life can't be like everybody else's life. He's called to live differently. And he lives in a society and in a culture that will not put up with someone who really lives for God. At best, they're indifferent. And at the worst, they're hostile to somebody who's actually crazy enough to forsake everything else and just live for God's will. And so here Jeremiah is, spends the entire night as an adult, as a young adult, spends an entire night in chains, nothing to eat, no shelter, in chains in front of the church. Now, I would be aggravated if I was Jeremiah. I don't know about you. Because you see, Jeremiah's not doing anything wrong. You know, he's not. He's not done anything wrong. He's been faithful to God. And even God says to Jeremiah, you're being faithful to me. You're doing what you've been called to do. You're living the life you were uniquely made to live. And because Jeremiah is living the life that he's uniquely made to live, he's suffering. I mean, really suffering. And so Jeremiah says, as soon as I get out of these stocks, me and God, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. As soon as I get out of these stocks, me and God, we're going to have a conversation. And so as we come to this passage with Jeremiah, he's literally having a conversation with God saying, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I've lived a life for you. And it hasn't ended in me having all the money and all the fame and all the fortune and all the ease of life that everybody else seems to want. And in fact, I'm suffering. And so Jeremiah begins to speak to God about it. And he says this first. He says, God, listen, you enticed me. You know? You enticed me. I was a boy. I mean, I'm literally just going to walk through. I was a boy, and you enticed me. I mean, God came to Jeremiah as a boy, and he said, Jeremiah, I uniquely made you and created you and put you together and formed you. And Jeremiah says, God, when you told me that, when I realized that Joshua Hahn was knitted and formed by the hands of the creator of the universe, Jeremiah said, when I was a boy and I realized that you had knit me together and made me, you didn't put me on an assembly line, you didn't have your secondhand angels do it, you yourself knitted and formed me with a plan for my life. When I heard that, the love in that and the power in that and the beauty in that, there was no way that kind of enticement wouldn't overcome me. And so God, even as a boy, you came to me and I was a child and you showed me all of your love and all of your purpose and all of your power and all of your beauty, and you won. You won my life. You prevailed. You said, as God, it's important for me to have Jeremiah, and you got me. You got me. I'm yours. Jeremiah says, but here's the thing, God, you enticed me and you prevailed over me and you said, you're going to speak my message. And he said, now I speak your message. But God, all you ever want me to say is destruction and violence. Everywhere I go, people refuse to serve God and they refuse to trust you and follow you. So I faithfully proclaim whatever you want me to say everywhere I go. And he says, you know what, God, because I've lived for you, I'm a laughingstock. I'm a laughingstock. I remember when I was at Trevecca, and I was a senior at Trevecca, which meant I had spent a significant amount of money on my education. You know, can I get a holler? And so I remember one day I was a senior at Trevecca, and I was sitting in a dentistry chair, and I was leaned back, and this lady, you know, I hate it when dentists work in your mouth and they try to talk to you. And this lady had her, like, instruments down in my mouth, and she said, so where are you going to school? I said, I'm going to Trevecca. She said, oh, you're going to Trevecca. You make good grades there? I said, yeah, I do make good grades. She said, okay, what, like you got a really good GPA? I said, yeah, I'm on scholarship and I make great grades. And yeah, it's great. I love it. And she said, cool. So you've been going there for how long? And I told her, and she said, how much does it cost to go to Trevecca? Just, you know, I mean, I hope this isn't prying. And I said, no, I don't mind. This is how much it costs. And she went, whoa. And I said, actually, it's not that much compared to other places, but yeah, it's a lot of money. And she said, well, that's, you know, but it's your education, so, you know, that's really important because obviously you'll make all that money back because you'll graduate and you'll work and you'll pay it all off and, you know, it'll be great. And I said, you know. And she said, so if you don't mind me asking, what are you going to Trevecca to do? And I said, I'm a religion major with a missions minor. And she said, oh, religion? So you want to like teach religion? And I said, no, like I want to live for Jesus. And she said, so like you want to be in ministry? And I said, yeah, I'm going to be in ministry. I'm going to be a missionary. And so that's what God has called me to do. So I'm going there. And she said, and you make good grades? Yeah, I make good grades. And she said, but you don't tend to teach? No. She said, so how much money, like are you a certain denomination? Yeah. What are you? Nazarene. Okay. How much do pastors make in the Church of the Nazarene? Like obviously, I guess since you'll have a college education, they'll pay you more. And I was like, no, actually, it doesn't quite work like that. She said, well, do you plan to go to like grad school? And I was like, I don't know, maybe, you know, we'll see and all this stuff. And she just looked at me and she said, so you actually don't know how much you're going to make? And I said, no, I don't know how much I'm going to make. She said, but like, is it going to be a lot? And I was like, no, it's not going to be a lot. And she said, so let me get this straight. You're paying like this much money to go to school and you're not even going to have a decent career that's going to make you any money. And I said, no. And she just began to laugh. She just laughed. And I was just sitting in this dentist chair with my mouth hanging open, being laughed at because I would spend my money for a career that wouldn't make me a lot of money. Even though I just told her that the whole reason I was doing it is because God called me to do this. She was just laughing at me. That was hard for a 22-year-old young man to hear. Because it made no sense to her at all. I was a fool in her eyes. Because this is how the world works. You know what keeps you safe and what delivers you and what gives you security and makes you happy? Money does that. But if that's the case, then I'm an idiot. And Jeremiah says, you see, God, I go around and I tell people what you've told me to say. And they say, Jeremiah, if you keep saying that stuff, we're going to kill you. Jeremiah, if you keep saying stuff, nobody's going to want to be around you. You're not going to fit in. Jeremiah, if you keep saying stuff and you keep living like that, you're not going to be wealthy, you're not going to be famous, nobody's going to like you. If you keep this up, you're going to keep suffering. Did you like the stocks? Because if you keep saying this stuff, we're going to keep chaining you up. And Jeremiah says, God, they tell me this, and I mean, I've lived the life for you, and I'm a laughing stock. You know what God, Jeremiah says? I think I'm finished. I think I've decided that I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not getting good money out of it. I'm not getting famous. I'm not getting a good healthy family that's perfect. I'm not getting a house. I'm not getting security and safety. I think I'm finished. And so Jeremiah says, I think I'll just bottle up all this that you've called me to, this life that you want me to live, living for you. I think I'm just going to bottle it up. I'm done. It's not worth it. I love where Jeremiah goes next. Gosh. Because what follows is not God saying, you know what, Jeremiah, never mind. I need you, so if you'll just keep following me, I'll start paying you more. Listen, Jeremiah, if you'll just keep doing what I want you to do, then listen, if you'll just keep doing what I want you to do, I'll get you a nice family and I'll get you a nice house. Jeremiah, if you just do what I want you to do, if you keep doing what I want you to do, then I'll make all your dreams come true. No, this is not the response of God. As a matter of fact, God just waits and lets Jeremiah talk this out with himself. So Jeremiah says to God, he says, I've decided I'm done. I'm finished. It's not worth it. I'm tired of laying in dentist chairs and being laughed at. I'm tired of being a laughing stock. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being chained up. I'm tired of not having everything. I'm tired of my own friends becoming my enemies, gossiping about me. If they can't kill me, they'll kill my reputation. I'm tired. I'm finished. And I can imagine there was a hesitation there. And Jeremiah's knee began to bounce a little bit. And he began to wring his hands. And then he stands up and knocks his chair over and he says, but I can't. Because living for you, it's like this fire that's in my bones. And I don't want to live for you anymore. I think I don't want to live for you anymore. And I don't want to talk about you anymore. And I don't want to do what you want me to do. But then this life for you is like a fire in my bones that begins to build up and it just explodes and I can't hold it in. I can't not live for you. I can't hold in this life that you've made me for, this life that you've called me to, this enticement that you've delivered me. I can't hold it. It's a fire in my bones. And listen, God, I should say no and I should stop because I'm not getting wealthy and I'm not getting a bigger house. I'm not getting a perfect family and I'm suffering and I'm losing friends. I don't fit into society and everybody laughs at my decision-making process because it's based on you instead of power and fame and fortune and wealth and politics and all that stuff. And I should just say no, but I can't because I'm made for this. Because living for you is a fire that I can't contain. And it explodes out of me. And anytime I try not to live for you, man, guys, this gets me. Every time I try not to live for you, I don't have the strength to not live for you. Because you're a fire in me. This is what he says to God. And then this crazy prophet starts praising God like Paul in a prison cell, like Daniel in a lion's den. This crazy, with no money and no family and no friends and no home and no fame and no social standing, begins to praise God. And he says, God, I praise you because you've delivered me. The last time Jeremiah used this word, the last time Jeremiah heard this word used was back when he was a boy. And he's an adult now and he's been through a lot. And the last time he remembered this word was back when he was a boy when God said this to Jeremiah, you will go through hard times, but I will deliver you to accomplish everything that I've called you to accomplish. And Jeremiah begins to praise God because he says, even in the midst of enemies whispering about me and seeking to destroy me and overcome and destroy my, even in the midst of it all, you still delivered me from a purposeless, meaningless life. I can imagine Jeremiah looking around him at all the famous, wealthy people that seem to have everything together, and he looks around him and he says, but they don't have a fire in their bones. I've got a fire in mine. I've literally talked to people and I've said, do you know what it's like to wake up every day and know you have a purpose for that day? Do you know what it's like to know that your life is not just being lived out like chaff in the wind, that when it's gone, I'll just be like your name written in the dust, that nobody... Do you know what it's like to wake up every day and have a burning fire in your bones for living for something? And for some reason, even the wealthiest people seem to get silent when that question is asked. Even the people seem to have it all together. And Jeremiah looks around and he says, God, I praise you because you have delivered me from the fate of my enemies. You've delivered me from the falsehood of wealth and the falsehood of political alliances and comfortable social status and the house and the having everything perfect. You've delivered me from that, and instead you've set a flame in my bones for you. And I praise you for it, Jeremiah says. Because there's nothing like living with a fire in your bones. And so praise be to the Lord. This is extreme. It's really extreme. But I want you to hear something this morning. God has not called every single one of you to be a prophet who can't have a family and can't have a house. God is not calling all of us to suffer and be chained up and set out to display in front of a church. Ugh, if that happens in America, call me. It shouldn't. God has not called us to those sort of things. And so I'm not saying you're going to end up in the same position Jeremiah is in. But listen, God is calling you. He is calling your name. And he's enticing you. Because if you sit here today as a human being with breath in your lungs, then God put you together and formed you and made you with a purpose in mind. And he said, I'm making this person, I'm making Joshua, and this is, man, he's beautiful, and his life's going to be beautiful. And man, this is going to be such a perfect, unique thing for him if he'll live for me. And God has made each one of us to live for God. And God doesn't call you and say, and if you'll live for me, you get the nice house and you get the beautiful family with no problems and you get all the wealth and the fame and the social status and all those things that everybody else seems to think are what's all important. He doesn't say that. But he says, if you'll be mine, I'll deliver you from a meaningless, purposeless life. I'll put a fire in your bones that you cannot contain, the world cannot contain, with all of its gossip about you, and with all of its hatred towards you, and with all of its laughing at your choices because they're made with me in mind instead of with success in mind. With all of your choices and all of your goals and all of your dreams, the laughing, the gossiping, the hatred, the not fitting in of this society, all of these things will never overcome you. Your life will mean something. And it will never put out the fire in your bones. God is calling you to that. And I don't know what it looks like. Maybe it looks like being a teacher. But being a teacher the way Jeremiah was a prophet. Maybe it looks like being a sales associate the way that Jeremiah was a sales associate. Maybe it looks like being a business owner. Maybe it looks like being a mom or a dad. Maybe it looks like whatever it looks like. God is calling you to that. Let me ask you a question. What would your life look like if you have a fire in your bones that could not be quenched by any power? This is Jeremiah's message. It's his life. We're going to do something in a minute. I want to pray for us, and then we're actually going to leave this area and go out front. The reason we're going to do that is because we're not allowed to light candles in here. It's not our building. We're going to go outside, and we're going to light candles, and we're going to hold them. And we're going to go outside where it's not isolated. You're going to be looking at an interstate with cars full of families, and you're going to be looking at a city with communities and neighborhoods. You might even be looking in the direction of where your house is. You can look in the direction of where your apartment complex is and where you live, and you're going to look out over a city. It's funny, Jesus will come along later, and Jeremiah says, I have a fire in my bones that nothing can quench. God will come later. Jesus will come and say, my people should be like a burning flame. You can't put a basket over the top of it and cover it. It's the same message, right? Take a big, huge, massive candle and put a little basket over it, it's going to burn a hole in the basket. The flame's just going to get bigger. And so we're going to go out there and we're going to stand there with these little candles. Your candle's probably going to blow out. It's windy today. And Gabby's going to sing a song. And as she sings a song, I want us to ponder what our lives would look like. What would your life look like if you have a fire in your bones? What would our church look like if there was a fire in the bones of Black Men Community Church? What would our city, our county, our nation, our world look like if we had a fire in our bones? And if that fire is there, but you feel like Jeremiah and you just need to rant at God a little bit, go right on ahead and rant at God. He can handle it. He'll probably just let you talk it out amongst yourself. But we have a reason to sing praises because all of us have been delivered from a meaningless, purposeless life. We've been delivered from all the falsehoods of wealth and status. We've been delivered to a God who says, you're made for me, and I want you, and I'll entice you till I have you. Let's pray together. Father, as we get ready to go outside for just a few moments, I know this is a radical message, God. I have friends who have told me you can't preach that kind of stuff and expect people to really believe it. I mean, Christianity is this thing where, you know, people pray over their meals and they come to church on Sunday, and that's Christianity. And if you expect more than that, you're crazy. But God, it's not your Bible. It's not your word. It's not who you are. And so, God, I pray that none of us would this morning hear this message that has just, man, it's really undone me this week. I pray that none of us would hear this message and say, great guy in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, whatever, and maybe the preacher up there had some sort of person laughing at him in a dentist office. That doesn't mean I got to change the way I live. God, I pray we wouldn't just set this message aside. But I pray, God, that we would begin to be inspired to imagine what it would look like if we let you put a fire in our bones. It would change the way we make decisions. It would change the way we measure success. It would change the way we look at the world. It would change the way we look at ourselves. It would change the way that we relate to people. It would change the way that we talk to you. It would change the way that we live and the way that we die if we had a passion like a fire for living for God. Call us all over again this morning. Call us all over again and remind us of how great you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you stand and just head out these back doors, and as you